one of the ground and long distance reconnaissance planes of the DO-18 type is overdue from a flight over the North Sea. German troops have now occupied the fortresses of Oskarsborg and Dröbak in the Oslo Fjord and have considerably strengthened the fortifications there. The fortification work at these two points was completed today, and at 10 a.m., practice shooting began, after the population of Oslo had been informed that it was to take place. The dismissal of all troops decided upon by the Danish War Minister and Admiralty has been practically completed by today, and no new recruits will be called up for the time being. The vessels of the Danish coastal defenses are on their way home, and on arrival, their crews will also be dismissed. Only a small Danish detachment will remain unarmed for the purpose of keeping order. The official Swedish news agency has published a statement denying the allegations made by foreign broadcasting stations to the effect that arms and ammunition had been found on board German ships arriving at Swedish ports. It is officially stated in Stockholm that these assertions are utterly unfounded. The Swedish newspaper, Folket Dagblad, points out that the nature of Britain's action in Norway was clearly revealed by the landing of British troops in the northernmost part of Norway. This is no support for the fighting Norwegian troops, writes the paper, and goes on to say that obviously Britain's only intention was to gain control over the port of Narvik and the north of the country. After referring to the importance attached by Britain to the Swedish iron ore exports to Germany, the Swedish paper states that if British troops succeeded in firmly digging themselves in at Narvik, it was very likely that they would attempt to gain control over the Swedish iron ore district. Such an attempt by Britain would lead to an open conflict with Sweden, concludes Folket Dagblad, and would at the same time be a direct threat against Russia. Germany calling. This is the end of our news. You are now about to hear a dialogue. Here is another of our dialogues between Schmidt, a German, and Smith, an Englishman, who have renewed their acquaintance in a Swiss hotel and formed the habit of discussing current topics. Smith, in a mood of some excitement, calls for refreshment and begins his verbal attack on Schmidt.
I say, old man, I didn't think I should be talking to you today, aren't I?
Oh, why not?
Well, damn it all, the real war's begun.
And if so, did you expect to be called up?
Damn it all, man, don't be so confounded and phlegmatic. So, callous.
Neither, my dear Schmidt. Just calm and collected, you know.
Calm and collected? You seem to have collected Denmark and Norway, all right. Capacity. Three. File fallacy of international law. Foul infraction of mutual rights. Another German crime.
Dear me, you have such another bunch of papers in front.
Yes, old man. But how did you know?
Oh, well, I seem to recognize the family language. Wait. I tell you what comes next. The tide turns. Strong British measure. Glorious naval victories. Bloody expeditionary force rapidly advancing. German navy wiped out. Hitler in terror. Churchill's speed in Scandinavia.
I say, old boy, you know, these are very lines on which I was thinking. Sally, all right, I don't say. You yellow horse. You must be. Papers are full,
what? Oh, well, I've seen a few of them, you know. I saw the heavy headlines in the Daily Herald announcing as a fact the British capture of Belgium and Antwerp. Then, in a subsequent issue, I saw an angry editorial cursing the government uphill and down there, rotting to knives at the issuing of such blatantly false information. I saw...
I say, old boy, it is quite fair to bring up such things against us. You know the bally faces might have been captured, and then we'd have been the first of the new, what?
Oh, well, that is the standard of reporting which you set yourself. I begin to understand some of the reports in the BBC, to which I've been listening during the last few days. But you know, the Daily Herald went on to say that this method of handling the news had made England look ridiculous in the eyes of the whole world.
Bah, socialist rag. Damn socialist rag. What they want is a little... This is a ram down our throat. Yes, rather acquainted with them than the Churchill brand, right?
They may not want it at all. The true general that you think of Churchill's remarkable statement that Hitler has made a strategic error in occupying Scandinavian territory.
What? Oh, yes, my chapter. Marvelous political and military insight. Shows a freak of genius, what? I mean, old fellow, a less gifted man would never have seen it. What?
That is a matter of opinion. But would you mind telling me why you think this statement so marvelous? In Germany, you see, people think it's simply idiotic.
Ah, yes, that's because you Huns have no brain. Not a damned idea about strategy at all. Now, just look at what we have gained.
That's what I'm making most curiously to hear.
Well, my dear chap, you should study old Winston's speeches more carefully. You see, we've got the Pharaohs, and Winston will see to it that not one of your jokes shall set foot in Iceland. Then, the Doctor Murgatroyd of the Foreign Office told me this morning that Greenland was as safe as the Bank of England. He also mentioned some other places with outlandish names, but Pittsburgh, and I think just France, Newfoundland, maybe. I'm not quite sure. But anyhow, you needn't expect to lay hands on them.
I do not think that any such expectation was ever entertained by our High Command. Neither has he any intention of annexing the North Pole.
Oh, haven't you? I read a well-informed article in the Sunday Creeper the other day, according to which you Nazis were most anxious for reasons of prestige and all that to get the Pharaoh North Pole.
Not prestige, surely. What the writer really meant was that he wanted to get control of terrestrial magnetism and hinder your shipping by putting all your nautical compasses out of action.
Well, I'm not a scientist, but even if you want to say something, that time, the man to stop. Gotta go, old man. I see you are putting my leg.
Yes, I see that. But I was just observing with interest the readiness with which you accept any cock and bull story that is even said to have been published in your press. But do let us come down to something real and tangible. Do you mean to say that you are satisfied with all this talk about Iceland and the Faroes and other places equally insignificant to us from the strategical point of view?
Well, old man, between ourselves, I'm frightfully interested in the Gallic Sea. And I think we're far from the northern Norway. Round about Narvik, you know. What? Good lad.
Can you mention any of these guarantees?
Well, not yet, but do wait until the next batch of papers come. Then I'll have something to tell you, all right. Anyhow, old boy, I'll set you anything you like to do with Narvik.
Well, we seem to be some time in using it. But why do you think that we cannot hold it?
Well, damn it all, old chap, according to the staff, the railways need to sell nothing. There are no real roads to the south, so you can't maintain your barrio communications. The dear old town might just as well be in another country, what?
Very interesting. I'm not going to indulge in their predictions, because, unlike yourself, I do not prefer to have fresh and authentic information from Narvik every hour. But if, as you say, there are no railway or good road communications between Narvik and the main part of Norway, if to use your own expression, the dear old town might just as well be in another country, then I utterly fail to see what strategically important it could have for you.
What? What? Damn it, sir. All this is getting very tangled. Say it again.
Well, to put the idea more simply, you are relying on taking Narvik because it is too remote from the main part of Norway to defend effectively. If that is true, I do not see, if it is untrue, what advantage you can secure by occupying it.
My dear chap, don't be silly. Have you forgotten dear old England's prestige? What? Damn it all. Think of how it would cheer up the old folks at home if they could read that this great northern city had been captured. What? Like most little cities, isn't it?
No, not at all. It is a town, there's a distant wire, there's no strategically important to us. We can get our arms out through the Baltic, and it will take you a very long time to build a railway under the supervision of the German Air Force.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. I must tell that to the doctor. But if Narvik is so bloody useless as you make out, why hang on to it?
Well, it is no part of our plan to facilitate your operations, however pointless they may seem. If you want to achieve a little prestige in order to keep the home front quiet, you must stay for it and save the area back. What my question is, why you don't land a truck in Bergen or say Oslo?
My dear chap, I asked the doctor the very same question this morning. And he said, well, of course, you see, the Nazis are solidly entrenched, perhaps. A And the time is not yet ripe for another delivery. Of course, if the public wants the Scandinavian delivery, it can have one. But I think, my dear, that there's so much trouble brewing in the north that we don't need to look for our Gallipolis in the frozen north. That's what he said to me, old son, word for word. I'm not quite sure that
I know what
to make of it, but it's straight from the heart and mouth of what it's worth.
Yes, righteousness, it comes down to this. Your government is just chasing a rather futile operation in Scandinavia in order to manufacture propaganda for home consumption. Nothing, thank
you. Oh, my dear old friend, when will you learn to say things in a civilized way? So untrue. So damned untrue. The fact of the matter is, you got there before we did. And if our own military men admit, you were too damned late when we arrived. Well, hang it all, old chap. That old government has to do something, what? I mean, if it can't save Scandinavia, it's got to save its own face. Hasn't it? I mean, that's what politicians are for, isn't it? Hang it all, a government that can't save its face ought to resign, what? You trust ours, old man.
I certainly will not. But you have been uttering some very profound truths, Nick.
Well, I hope I always have something of value to say.
Well, I don't think it would have been better for your government to have avoided this predicament by leaving Norway's territorial rights alone.
Oh, you mean the marine laying, do you?
Yes.
Oh, that, well, I mean, we never thought it would be such a fact to make it better.
Indeed. What did you imagine he could do?
Well, I suppose, I thought he'd run to the devil of an ox and write a hell of a lot of notes, Mark. Send over some plane when we had the situation in hand. But to behave as he did, damn it all, the fellow doesn't know the first thing about politics. And the Danes, well, they're just cads too. Can't play the game. Simply cannot.
Well, then you might as well outrun the percentage of Norwegians as well.
And how is that, eh? What's the use of trying to save and civilize people if they don't want it?
Dismal. Perhaps they saw how you say Poland and Finland.
I say, old boy, must you bring that up again? I mean, they still have our goodwill. And if we didn't want to save them, well, we told Germany and Russia exactly what we thought about them.
Is that all?
Well, my dear old fellow, until there are public schools on our model all over Europe.
What did you expect?
Well, I must have a word with the doctor. He looks pretty gloomy. So long.
Keen and nice, as I see. Poor old Smith. And he's not so poor. He isn't fighting.
Here are the Reichsender envoys. Station Bremen 1, Bremen 2, and New York City. This is the end of our news and dialogue in English.